It's always a relief when technology doesn't let you down and your notes pop up. That's why I used to write them down and bring a book, then you know they're going to be there. So we watched the rugby yesterday with some friends. You watched the Springboks playing rugby yesterday?
Yes.
So there's some funny placards that get put up. And we appreciate them. I mean, they are do have a lot of humor. So one came up yesterday, and I said to Len, I'm going to try and work it into my sermon tomorrow. But I can't think of anything, so I'll use it as an icebreaker before we start. So this one lady put up a placard and said, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it took the Springboks 80 minutes to destroy them. So, coming back to a more serious note, this is part two of a two-part series, and the title of the sermon is Fearless. Last week we looked at fear, as Pete says, and a lot of aspects of fear, why we become fearful, what triggers it, and if fear is left unchecked, what it does to us. And what it turns us into. So we're going to recap a little bit for those of you who weren't able to make it last week, but not too much, just to give you the background, and that fear is something that hits all of us at some point in our lives from time to time. And sometimes if it gets left and festers, it will eventually control us. And although fear is a normal thing, it's how you react to it that counts. Fear is a perceived loss of something, normally control. And as I said, it's okay to be fearful, but if we let it go unchecked, it can destroy us. So we're going to carry on this morning, and we're going to look first of all at a couple of other aspects of what causes fear in our lives. And Before we get into the answers, everyone is keen to know the answers. So the answer is Jesus. You guys can all go home. Jesus is always the center, hey? So fear of disappointing God, or is God angry with me? That can also be something that that can trigger fear. I was just sharing with Pete earlier that the sermons that have been preached in the last month, one by me called God the Great Restorer, Pete's amazing sermon on just surrender, and last week on Fearless, there's a thread which is running all through them, and I hope you guys are going to be able to pick up on that. So what if we feel that we've done something that God can't forgive us for? We ever get that? What if we get into the storm and we say, I wonder if God is punishing me for this? That can come from a background. A lot of us come from a traditional church background where we grew up, and fear of God punishing us is often something that can be brought through from a previous generation. And it's interesting how we're going to look at that and where it comes from. We'll start with Genesis. So we'll go to Genesis 3, reading from verse 8. And we're looking at the fall, basically the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they had eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's a nice thought, hey? In the cool of the day. Tracy and I often go for a walk in our garden in the cool of the day. And that's a lovely thing to do. And God used to do that. That was his habit. But this time they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Why was Adam now afraid, and why did he now hide? He hadn't before. Because he had sinned, and there was a separation. He had become distant from God, and all of a sudden, he was afraid. He was aware of his nakedness. He was afraid, and he hid. Does that happen to us sometimes? Through sin in our lives, we become afraid of God and we hide. And we become fearful of God. So folks, I've got good news for you. And that is Jesus, what Jesus did for us on the cross. If we go now to Colossians 1, reading from verse 13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, we have been forgiven through Christ on the cross. Isn't that awesome, folks? From what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have been freed from that sin. So God is not punishing you. Through your sin, you may have become distant from God. There may be a separation. God cannot abide sin. He can't look at sin. He can't view sin. But that's our problem. If we repent of the sin, true repentance, that we are restored. As Christ was the great Redeemer and restored us to God, so through repentance, we can draw ourselves back to God. Isn't that amazing? So don't be fearful. Don't be fearful of God being angry with you. Forgive, ask for your forgiveness and draw closer to God. Another thing we're going to look at is the fear of overwhelming challenges. We can be doing well in life. Things are going well. We've got a good job, car, we may have a family, and then things start piling up. Your boss starts putting more demands on you, impossible deadlines, and you feel you can't cope. Maybe there's some sickness in the family and there's medical bills, and you feel overwhelmed. How are you going to pay these bills? How are you going to do it? Often there's too much month left at the end of the money. Does anyone have that problem? And there normally comes a point, and it normally happens at night. Things are always worse at night, eh? When that fear starts rising up in you and you feel you can't cope. There's good news here as well. But let's look at the story. We're going to turn to Matthew 14 and start at verse 22. This is another boat and water story. We went through one last week, and so this is another one with very good examples. Verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And then verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Sound familiar? We're in another storm. Now this storm is chronologically after the storm we looked at last week. Imagine what the disciples were thinking. Actually, I was quite amused when I was preparing for this. The disciples, Jesus is telling them, okay, get in the boat and go to the other side and I'll see you guys there. And they're like, we've been in this movie before, and our faith was tested. What's going to happen this time? Sure enough, the wind picks up again. But obviously this time, they weren't as afraid because they'd been through this before. This wasn't their first rodeo. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. I think it's safe to say that's something that they weren't expecting. Okay? They thought maybe Jesus was going to catch up with them in a smaller boat, or he's going to meet them on the other side. But there it says in verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. So they were expecting maybe that, you know, it was another test in terms of the waves lapping over the side of the boat. This time, they see Jesus walking towards them through the storm. In verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus didn't want them to be terrified, and he said immediately, "It is I. Don't be afraid." So here's the first nugget, if you're taking notes. Jesus is always with us in the storm. We're going to come back to the story just now, but for a moment, let's look at Matthew 28. Just to back that up, starting from verse 19, Jesus is speaking here as part of the Great Commission. And in verse 19, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." In verse 20, "And surely I am with you always." And if that was not enough, to the very end of the age. When Jesus always emphasizes something twice, what does it mean? He's really trying to get the point across. Let's say, "I am with you always." So folks, Jesus is always with us in the storm. So we're starting to get into the answers now. There will be storms in life. We're guaranteed of that. But Jesus is always with us in the storm. God is with us. In fact, one of his names means that. Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that awesome, folks? God is with us. We go back to our boat story now, Matthew 14, and we pick it up in verse 28. Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the waves." Peter is filled with faith. And at that moment, he thinks, no, he doesn't think, he knows he can walk on water. Faith does that to us, doesn't it? When faith comes, it drives out fear. That's another nugget. Write that down. When faith comes, it drives out fear. Peter saw Jesus, and he was so on the water there, and he was so filled with faith. He said, "Lord, if it's you," in other words, if you're not a ghost, "tell me to come to you on the water." Isn't that amazing? In verse 29, Jesus said, without hesitation, "Come." Because he could see Peter's faith. And that pleased him. Isn't that amazing? And then verse 29, Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Now, when I was preparing for the sermon, I thought this passage is entitled "Jesus Walks on Water." But if we're honest with ourselves, that doesn't really surprise us, does it? Jesus is God, so he can do anything. So I think what's more surprising is Peter walked on water. Isn't that amazing? Wow, amazing the things we can do when we're filled with faith. But just then, verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. So Peter got distracted here. He was filled with faith. He said to Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Jesus said, come. He got out of the boat and he started walking. And it was amazing. And that's what faith does to us. But then he got distracted. He took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the situation. He looked at the storm. And what happened? He started sinking. Yeah, Peter sums it up well. He just did this with his hand. He began to sink. Verse 30. He cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? When Peter had his eyes fixed on Jesus and he was filled with faith, he was fine. He was above water. He was doing well. As soon as he got distracted by the storm, he saw the wind and the waves and he started to sink. And he cried out to God. And what did Jesus do? He reached out immediately. Immediately, the word says, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Are you of little faith? Are you of little faith? Why did you doubt? We can't choose to avoid the storms in life, folks, unfortunately. In flying, you can. So in flying, there's a thing called a weather radar, which is quite a nice instrument. And it will show you weather that's ahead of you, up to 200 nautical miles. And I think the most intense, it starts from blue to green to yellow to orange, red. You don't want to go there, okay? That's cheeky storms. Okay, not even the commercial airliners go through those storms because there's serious wind shear. Winds of 200 miles an hour plus will hit you in those storms. I've got a very basic version in my plane. It's called a storm scope, and it measures a lightning discharge. So it'll put a little X on a screen wherever there's a lightning bolt. You want to avoid where there's lots of lightning bolts together. You want to avoid that. But that's flying, and that's not life. Unfortunately, life, you can't avoid the storms. Jesus promises us that. And why? Well, I don't have all the answers, but sometimes we need to increase our faith. And if life was too smooth, then we wouldn't do that. I was chatting to the guys from the Cape earlier and saying, you know, Zim has got its challenges, but it is a privilege to live here. And one of the things we've got to look at is that if we lived in one of those first world countries where everything was taken care of for us, where if you lose your job, you get unemployment for however many years, there's state medical aid, pension, all those things are taken care of. It's all laid out for you. In fact, did you know that in the UK, you can choose no job as a career option? Yeah, I kid you not. And this is, I mean, I worked in the UK in the 90s. That was already a career option then. And there's guys there that are second generation. They've decided to follow in their father's footsteps and also not work. I kid you not. So Zim, we don't have that option. So our faith is tested on a more regular basis, and I think we can be thankful for that. Because those guys, they still can't avoid medical issues or whatever. It may be paid for, but when tragedy happens, their rug gets pulled out from under them. They don't have that faith. They collapse. So you get the storms in life. Fear is the reaction. Let faith come in and drive out the fear. God wants us to have faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, I don't think I gave you this verse, but I just quickly threw it in here. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants faith. In fact, let's look at what faith is in a little bit more detail. So we'll go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. And I actually like the King James Version even better. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things yet unseen. Isn't that amazing? And that's why we haven't seen Jesus yet. And that's why Christianity is often called the faith. Because we have faith that he is the Son of God and he is risen. The Father's side. Isn't that amazing? So what do we have faith in? Now understand what faith is. What is it? What do we have it in now? We have Christ. In faith in Christ. Faith that he has our back. That he is with us in the storms. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 28 now. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And this verse, although we may not like it, it does suggest that even with difficult or negative experiences, even in the storm, God works it into a positive outcome for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Like the bumper sticker says, God's got this. We need to have faith in him in the storm. So in the storm, show faith. Not fear. So, just reminding me of a story. There was, many years ago, there was a conference that used to take place once a year called Farmers for Jesus. I don't know how many of you used to go to that, but it started in the 90s, I think, and then it went through until about 2005. And my friend Mas Kirk introduced me to it. And I went to it for many years, from about 99 until it's ended in 2005. And one of the main instigators, one of the main organizers of this Farmers for Jesus was Brian Aldreve. I'm sure you guys have heard of the name. And those of us who went to Zambia early in the year, we had the privilege of actually seeing Brian Aldreve. He's quite frail now, he's not very mobile, but his mind is still as sharp as a pin, and he remembered us, and it was an amazing privilege to see him there. And at one of these Farmers for Jesus, I think it was 2003, I'd just gone on my own, and in 2003, if those of you know the history of our country, it was the height of the land reform, and most of my fellow managers were leaving the country for greener pastures. In one went to Canada, Australia, South Africa, you name it, bombshell. And I decided to go farming on my own. It was a bit of an anti-cyclic thing at the time. But that's what I believed the Lord wanted us to do, and that's what we did. And so at this Farmers for Jesus, I saw Brian and he said, hey, hi, Warren, how's it going? And everything. I said, that's fantastic. I'm on my own, you know, but this difficult times and guys are, you know, being moved off their farms and all the rest of it. Is God going to keep me on my farm? And Brian said to me, I can't answer that question, but what I will tell you is God will honor your faith. And that stayed with me forever. And God did that. God honors our faith. We have moved around a bit over the last 25 years, but God will always honor your faith. So show faith, not fear, and God will honor your faith. It may not be the outcome that you envisage. The picture that you have in your mind might be different, but God will honor your faith. We always have an idea in our mind how we'd like things to end up. Not so. God may have different plans for you, but he will always honor your faith. So how do we lift our faith? Let's look at Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Folks, lifting your faith is not a quick fix. It's not an easy thing. It's something that we have to be intentional about. Reading the word and spending time in it and meditating and praying. We spoke recently at our comm group. We've got some new members, and we spoke about the importance of your quiet times in the morning. And I just shared that for me, over the years, I know that it has to be the first thing in the morning, because lunchtime's too busy, and then in the evening, I'm too tired. So it has to be first thing in the morning. But you have to be intentional. Be intentional about reading the word. Be intentional about spending time with the Lord. Be intentional about your prayer. And as the word says, we've just read it, that is how your faith is lifted. Be intentional about coming to church, hearing the testimonies. So I can tell you this morning in our prayer time, Dion lifted my faith. 100%. So if I hadn't been here, if I'd been sitting at home moping, my faith wouldn't have been lifted by Dion. That's all these things. Join a comm group. Comm group, we in church are a family, but your comm group is a closer family, isn't it? That's where you can often really get to the meat of things. You can share intimate things with your comm group, intimate problems that you're having, and they can lift you up in prayer, encourage you, share verses, words of knowledge, prophesy. And often it's like physical love, like coming and visiting, bringing meals if you're going through a tough time. All these things lift your faith. Be intentional, folks. There's no quick fix. Angus Buchan said once, the bigger my problems, so he's the farmer preacher, for those of you who don't know, but I'm sure all of you do. The bigger my problems, the more time I spend in prayer and in reading the word. And you think that's against the thinking of the world. The more problems you got, the earlier you want to get out and fix them. But Angus Buchan said, if the bigger my problems in my farm, the more time I spent in my quiet time in the morning. Quite amazing. And he's a man of faith. Those of you who've read Faith Like Potatoes or watched the movie, he's a real man of faith. Someone to take his advice. So just to summarize here, folks, it's quite simple. The storm hits, and it's going to hit. The Lord promises us of that. We listened to that verse when I preached on God, the great restorer. In this world, you will have trouble. So we know that. The Lord promises us of that. But fear not, I have overcome the world. So the storm is going to hit. And when it hits, your initial reaction may be fear. And that's normal. Sometimes it's built in to save us, like I used the example of going near a cliff. It's to protect us. Other times it's just a reaction to something. But it's how you deal with that. Do you let it linger? Do you let it fester? Or do you build your faith and let your faith drive out the fear? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus in the storm, like Peter, and you won't sink. Push away the fear with faith, and God will honor your faith. So I have to admit that even in my preparation this week, my faith's been lifted. And why? Well, as the word suggests, I spent more time in the word this week. I spent more time in prayer, and my faith is lifted. So I just want to ask you folks this morning, if anyone feels that they need their faith lifted, I want you to stand with me this morning and I want to pray with you. If anyone wants an increase in their measure of faith and they want this to be the start of that journey, like I said to you, it's no easy, it's no quick fix. But the Lord can start us on that journey this morning. I want you to stand with me this morning and I want to pray with you. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, you've heard your word this morning, Father. We've heard that there are times when the storm is going to hit. We can't avoid that. But Father, we thank you that if we keep our eyes focused on you in the storm, that you will see us through the storm, Lord. And we just ask, Lord Jesus, for those who stood this morning, we ask for an increase in measure of their faith. We know it's no easy journey, Lord. It's not a quick fix, but we ask that you would just increase their faith right now in Jesus' name and enable them to start that journey of increased faith. For storms that they may be in right now or possible storms in the future, Lord. We know that in our beloved country, we face many trials, trials of many kinds, Lord. And so their storms are, for us are frequent. But we know that if we keep our eyes focused on you, awesome God, that you will see us through these storms. We thank you. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.